This is Sunday morning, Father's Day. I would imagine that golf courses are full this morning, as pretty as the sunshine is. I imagine they're lined up at the boat dock over there, getting ready to put that wonderful little motor on the back and slide it into the water. I think some fathers are just sitting at home and relaxing. And Jennifer, did... Okay, good, yeah.
Did you say? Never
mind. They're going to spread the wealth over there. But you know what? We're here in God's house today. And what a privilege, what a wonderful privilege it is to be here. I love Father's Day, and I've been very fortunate to have been brought up in a family with a strong father. He was not the most... He was not the disciplinarian in the house. My mother never gave him an opportunity to be. When we would come at the end of the day and he would walk in, my father was a roofer for many, many years. He worked for Virginia Roofing up in Alexandria. Hard work. The hottest job in the summertime and the coldest in the winter. And he would come home at the end of the day after we had, the four children had been... let's say just an education to our mother. And he would walk in sometimes and just seem like he would shake his head and just feeling sorry for us children. But he was always there, and no matter how hard he worked, he would always take time to speak to us, to share time with us. But you got to remember, that was back in the day where there wasn't quite as much going on. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? Today, that laptop opens and you turn on that television that has more channels than I can count. You have responsibilities. You have places to go. You want me to? Good. You have places to go. You have different things that take up so much of your time. But my friend, the strength of a father and the family. It is said by statistics, if the mother attends church in the family, that there's a possibility that about a little over 20% of the time the children will continue on and go on to attend church. But if the father in the family attends church service, that jumps all the way up to almost 70% of the time the children later on will continue their church attendance. It's wonderful the influence that we have, fathers. I like to start with the story that I use every Father's Day, so if you're here last Father's Day, you'll hear the same thing. I'm always thinking about the young athlete who went through the Pee Wee Leagues, through his little recreation leagues, made it into high school. He was a high school football star. He went on to college. He starred on the college football team at every game. Ever since he was just a little tyke, his father would take him to practice, would take him to the games, would sit there and cheer for him. He went on into the professional ranks and made it all the way to the Super Bowl. At the end of the Super Bowl, they went up to the winning quarterback and put a microphone in front of his face. And he says, "Is there anyone you want to say hi to or thank?" And he says, "Yes, I want to say hi, Mom." Fathers, you just don't get as much recognition as you should. But that's just the way it ought to be. I'm reading in God's Word, and I'm just going to read you a few scriptures this morning. I know Kevin was so kind to share the scriptures that he did. He read us in Proverbs, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I want to read for you in the book of 1 Kings, the 9th chapter. "And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments." In 2 Chronicles, the 17th chapter, "And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not Balaam." In 2 Timothy, in the 1st chapter, the 5th verse, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also," the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy, who he mentored, who he loved. And all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today. Just for a few moments, open our minds and hearts so we receive that truth that you have for each and every one of us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen. I like singing, as I've told you many times before. I like the opportunity to come down and get up, and boy, we come down with our eyes a little red and blinking and all, but boy, when you start to sing, the enthusiasm, the excitement. And we hope that you share that, because the songs we sing, we call it music with a message. And today we're here to just simply present you that message. Now, we have a smaller crowd here today. I know the last time we're down, Kevin was telling me all kind of numbers they had. But remember today, God has ordained that we should be in his house at this time. So I just want to encourage you and thank each and every one of you for being here today, for taking time out of this beautiful day to come into a wonderful building that God has given you here to hold these services in. As we spend a short time on the clock here sharing God's word, I just encourage you to simply enjoy being in his presence. There are many things that you have the opportunity to spend your time, but I believe that the time spent in God's house, listening to God's word being read, hearing the songs about the master being sung, having the opportunity, and I will leave in a few minutes, and Kevin will come forward, and he will have a prayer time with you. He will take up prayer requests, and I believe those prayer requests that we reveal to God, I believe that he hears and he answers. But I believe that it's an encouragement. Last Sunday, we had a service up at Mount Calvary, and we did something special at the end of the service. Next Sunday, you're going to have Brother Matt Lanham. He's going to come share God's word with you. He's home in West Virginia this weekend, spending family time with his own father and grandfather. And just a few weeks ago, he was able to graduate Liberty University. And the problem was that they didn't transfer the credits in time, so that he did not have the opportunity to walk and take part in the graduation ceremony. His girlfriend, she emailed me, and she said, "Do you think that we could kind of surprise him?" She says, "I made up a diploma, and since he wasn't able to take part in that graduation ceremony, I was just hoping that possibly on a Saturday we'd get together and you could present him this diploma, we could surprise him and have a little luncheon." I said, "Oh no, Alex, we've got to do more than that. This is something we do on a Sunday morning, get everybody involved." So Matt, and I don't know Matt's height, how tall is Matt? He's about that tall, right? Whatever that height is. And our piano player up there, her son-in-law just graduated over in Maryland, and he is 6'6", almost 6'7". So I borrowed his robe to make sure that Matt would have no part of his ankles or toes even showing as he came down the center of the church. We surprised him at the end of the service. We put that robe on him and put a little cap. We set the tassel on the side. And friends, it was beautiful. We took one of the singers here that just sang for you a few minutes ago, Brother Bob Mumford, and we had to have a little fun. We had to play a little joke, so we made Bob put on one of the choir robes, and he came out with a statement because we had selected him to be the valedictorian of the class. And he came out in all seriousness, looked straight to the congregation, and gave them this little bit of wisdom: "The future is ahead." And then he went and sat down. Now, you may think that's awful silly, but we had a big laugh about it. None of you laughed this morning, but we had a big laugh about it last Sunday. And it reminds me that how sometimes very simple statements mean so much. I was chatting with somebody this week, and always the subject during this time of year and summertime and the vacations and the different things you're doing, and we talked about the upcoming Father's Day. And we talked about how what an influence that fathers had been in lives, and sometimes good fathers and sometimes, sadly, fathers that have not quite behaved as they should and not quite be the inspiration that we'd want them to be. But how that you personally have an opportunity to take those things, the good things, and focus on those. And hopefully, God willing, take the things that may be not so good and put them away on a shelf somewhere. And I wrote down the statement because it's one of those silly statements that when you hear it, it goes, well, that kind of makes sense. And the statement is made about how easy it is to keep up good habits when you're doing the right thing. But also how easy it is to fall into bad habits when you're continually making bad choices. Now, somebody will say, well, that's pretty simple. I don't know if that would ever be earth-shaking or would change many people's lives. But friends, I believe that fathers have changed lives simply by doing the right things over and over again. I lived in a household where not many times were spoken out that word, I love you, but I lived in a household because of the sacrifices that my parents and my father made that I was shown day in and day out, I love you. Fathers sometimes don't have that wonderful opportunities to express the feelings that they have inside. They do it by their actions. They might not say it so well because, let's be honest about it, they don't have as much practice as women do. Women, I didn't see you sighing and getting angry with me over there. It is said that women speak almost 3 times as many words in a day that men do on average. But the expressions of love that is shown from the heart, the things that you do for your families, the ability to walk in and simply keep doing the right thing, is to be commended. I believe that God, in His wisdom, God, through His word, He encourages us to look not only to our earthly fathers here, but also to our heavenly Father. I see a few folks out there that may qualify for the description of senior citizen. I've been very fortunate with this white hair that I have. I've actually been able to go into different food establishments and be able to receive the senior discount when I was even late in my 30s. Everybody would look and say, well, are you upset about that white hair? Not really. But I know when I look out and I see folks that may be in that senior citizen mode, and I think about all the wisdom that you have gained through the years. There's an African little song, a little chorus that they do. And basically what the chorus says, that when a senior dies, it's like a library that has burned. And I believe that. I believe, and you know, today we're preaching very relaxed because you're sitting there, hopefully you're relaxed. You're sitting there just simply enjoying the good things of God. But I believe that as you have lived through years, all the experiences that you've gone through, that you have built up a wealthy library of information and experiences and the good things that God has done for you, the times that He has simply seen you through. And I want to encourage you to simply share those experiences with the sons and the grandsons and the daughters and the granddaughters and any family member, any friends that you come into contact with. Because, my friend, the conversations that you have, the opportunities you have to lift up God's word, to simply share your love through your actions, those are the things that people will remember and they will make a difference in someone's lives. I serve a loving God. I serve a God that loves me, and He loved me when I was unlovable. He looked down and he said, you know, there are none of us that under the sound of my voice that ever deserve anything from God. But he so freely gives because that's his nature. There was a Sunday school teacher, and she was teaching, I think, the youngest class, the 3- and 4-year-olds, and the Sunday school teacher was trying to talk about God's will, and trying to get this concept across to the little ones, and talked about how the importance of honoring God's will and the necessity of understanding God's will and the significance of being in God's will. And a little 3-year-old raised her hand and said, I'm sorry, but I don't understand. If God is going to live forever, why does he need a will? You know, they may not get it right. The things that we say when we're saying them, they may not make too much sense. We may not think that they're earth-shattering. We're not going to think that they're going to make a great difference in people's lives. Because the importance is not what we do with it. It's what God does with it. You're simply coming in and being accountable, bringing children, bringing grandchildren, bringing sons, daughters. And when you leave today, having that opportunity to make phone calls, to share the good thing that God has done for each and every one of us. In just a moment, I'm going to ask Kevin to come on up. Kevin, you're a slow walker. So you might as well come on up this way. You know, he's been working hard this morning. He's been singing. He's been trying to fix the music over there. And trust me, it takes Kevin quite an effort to figure out what shirt to wear when we're singing. He doesn't get that right all the time, but, you know, we still love him, and we love Becky, and we love the opportunity to come down and share with you. So I'm just going to encourage you. He's going to lead you in a prayer. And if you've never met this man, Jesus, that we talk about, if you've never made a commitment unto him, today is a great day to do so. It's also a great day to kind of rededicate one's lives and get focused on the things that God will want you to do. It's not by accident that you're here today. And for those of you that have needs, that have issues, people ask me, and I talk to people, and they say, yeah, we've got more issues than a newsstand, and that's true. It's not easy to live the life in the time that we're in. But thanks be unto God that we have a helper, one that supports us, one that lifts us up, one that is closer than a brother, and he gives us the opportunity to share one with another. Now, sometimes when I call Kevin forward and he thanks, and you know, I've been thanked already because God has just allowed us to be here to share in song, to share in the message, very simple message, just one of how God loves you and he loves me, and especially loves all the fathers represented here today. Brother Kevin.
Thank you, Brother Charlie. Let's all bow our heads in prayer and